Good morning. How many of you are absolutely excited and pumped and want to be here in summer school and there's no other place you'd rather be? You've been looking forward to it. You're just excited to be here. You're just like over the top. This is a blessing. This is great. Raise your hand. Okay, one person, two people. Okay, you two don't have to listen to this sermon because this one's not for you. Okay. Everybody who didn't raise your hand, now raise your hand. Okay? Everybody but those two. This sermon is for you. Okay? Because I was thinking about summer school, and here you guys are, most of you coming. How many are, well, let me see, how many are brand new? You've never had a class with BJ before. Brand new, first time here? Not many, and maybe you don't want to raise your hand because you're kind of embarrassed, which is fine. All right? Most of you have been in school. We've just come off of graduation weekend, and the idea of coming back to school and being here in summer school is just not something that's very exciting, and you might be feeling a little bit discouraged. You might even be feeling a little bit down, and here you are even wondering, should I be here, and is it a good thing? Now, I was excited to be here this morning. I actually woke up and thought, this is fine. I am glad to be teaching summer school. I'm looking forward to it. I know of someone, I don't want to name who it is because she'd be embarrassed, but I have someone in my family, I'll just say that. It's a son or a daughter, okay? I don't have any sons though. And she's here this morning, okay? And I won't tell you who she is, but one of my daughters graduated and was not in college yet, so I'm narrowing it down. And she was not excited at all. All right. And I began thinking about it and I thought, you know, there's probably a lot of people here this morning and you're not real excited to be here. And you're thinking, is this a good thing? Well, it is a good thing to be here. And I'm going to begin with an illustration that took place in the Navy. OK, the commanding officer of the nuclear powered submarine, the USS Hampton, was relieved of duty recently because of a lack of confidence in his leadership. The commander, and I won't read his name, was relieved of duty after a U.S. naval inspection found the ship failed to do daily checks on the nuclear reactor for a month and then falsified records to cover up the omission. It appears from a preliminary investigation on the Hampton that sailors on the submarine had skipped the analysis of the chemical properties of the submarine's reactor for a month, even though a daily check is required. The gentleman's removal came after officials discovered that logs on the ship had made it appear that the checks were done when in reality they had not been. Here's a guy that's a Navy commander on top of his game. He finally gets to be in charge of a nuclear-powered submarine. That would be like being president or something, just a real big deal. And they knocked him down because he wasn't diligent. Now, this article goes on. This is not the first problem the Navy has faced. The reported problems with procedures and record-keeping in the Navy squadron follows another recent incident when a B-52 bomber was mistakenly armed with 6 nuclear-tipped cruise missiles and flown to a Louisiana base. The mission from the Air Force base in North Dakota was to carry the missiles, but they were supposed to have had the warheads removed before they were sent. Guys, you understand what that means? They're supposed to take these missiles across the country. They're supposed to take the nuclear warheads off. But they forgot. Which means if that plane had gone down, some of you probably would not be here today because we would have had a major nuclear challenge in the United States. Okay? You say, what happened? What happened is these are examples of people that were not diligent. The Bible makes it clear that being diligent is a good thing. And I was thinking about diligence in Proverbs related to summer, and immediately a verse came to my mind. Open up to Proverbs chapter 10, please, in verse 5. And as you make your way to Proverbs 10 in verse 5, you say, can you really show me summer school in the Bible? Kind of. I can kind of show you summer school in the Bible. Now, it won't be exactly the same thing, but it'll be close. Now, notice what Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The title of this message is called The Precious Possession of Diligence. And Proverbs makes it clear that diligence is something that we all should have. The first point is simply this. Diligence is a mark of wisdom. Let me read 10:5 again. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. You say, do you want to be a wise person? Well, let's just stop and regroup a little bit. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think you've all heard this in sermons. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean, oh, no, God's going to zap me. If God wants to zap me, he can, obviously. But fear of the Lord means reverence. It's the idea that you're saved. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and you want to live a life that pleases him. You want to reverence him. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Question, what does that look like practically? Answer, Proverbs. Proverbs is all about what some people call Christianity in genes. It's how to live for Christ every day, 24/7. One way to live for Christ is being diligent. Now, this doesn't mean that if you're diligent, somehow God loves you more. Guys, if you know Christ, you already know God's love, and that can't be increased or decreased. It's perfect. We're not talking about somehow getting God to love me more or getting God to like me more or making sure I'm saved, so I'm going to work really hard. We're talking about people who you know you're saved. Your faith's in Jesus Christ. And now you just want to kind of say thank you to the Lord. You want to write God a thank you note that just says, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. I want to live in a way that would please you. Proverbs shows you how to do that. You say, how do I do that? One way is by being diligent. Back to 10:5, because diligence is a mark of wisdom. Let me read it again. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Here it's summertime. And a lot of people aren't into working. This could be a reference to the season of summer. Some think it could be a reference to the summer fruit. It's the early fruit in an agricultural setting. Either way, it's time to work, but you don't have to work. You can make a choice. The Bible says he that gathereth, you're working in summer, is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, there's nothing wrong with sleeping. I had a wonderful night's rest last night. In fact, I even slept an extra hour this morning because I knew we didn't have to start so early. And I enjoyed that and I'm thankful for it. But there's some people who love sleep as a regular rule of thumb and they don't work. They're not diligent. And what is the Bible saying? He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I'd like to broaden sleep out to be more than just sleep. I'd like to call it any kind of inactivity. What do people like to do today rather than study, rather than pick summer fruit? What are some of the big things that lazy people do? Sleep would be one. Name another one. Video games. Some people just sit home, and especially guys, right? I mean, let me just see if this is true. How many of you girls, you really absolutely video games, you just love to play video games? A couple? Okay, so we got two or three, right? I'm not going to ask the guys, because many of you would raise your hands and then you'd feel bad and then many of you would not and some of you would feel worse because you'd be convicted that you should have raised your hand and you didn't. Okay? All right? So we're not going to do that. But you know what? There's a lot of people that just sit home and do video games. They just sit home and Facebook. And I'm not saying social media is wrong. They just like to sit there and text. That's all they do is text. And they could be doing something profitable. And you know what the Bible says? He that sleepeth, we could translate that, or plays excessive video games, or spends all of his time on Facebook in harvest. And that could be the idea of in the classroom. Okay? So he that sleeps in class or texts in class, that's kind of a loose translation, is a son that causeth shame. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says diligence is a mark of wisdom, but laziness results in shame.
If you want to know how to live a life that's like writing a thank you card, hey, Lord, just thank you for dying for me. You are so wonderful. I want to live for you. One way you can show God you're thankful is by seeking to have a diligent life. I want to be careful again. No problem with playing video games in their place, in their time. But the idea of, Lord, it's time to work. I want to work. I want to be a diligent person. I don't want to have to face shame. You might be thinking, come on. How in the world could a lack of diligence actually result in shame? I had a student in class. This goes back a number of years ago. It's not just this past year. I wouldn't use it. I teach a class called Fundamentals of Counseling. Some of you, in fact, will take it this summer. In that class, I have approximately 175, 200 students. Big lecture class. I would come into class every day, 9 o'clock, well, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9. Right in the front row to my left a little bit, a guy would come in. Just a student. I didn't really think anything different of him. And in a class that big, you don't really think about people individually as a rule. You're just kind of lecturing and whatever. And I noticed he would come into class every day and just sit there. He would not open up his notebook. He would not grab a pen. He would just sit there for probably a good 10 or 15 minutes. And he wouldn't sleep. He would just have that faraway look in his eye. What he was thinking about, I don't know. But he would just sit there and do nothing. About 15 minutes into the class, he would just kind of take out his notebook and then fill in all the notes from his neighbor and get caught up. He never gave me a hard time. I don't know anything about him, except that's what he did. And I noticed it time after time. And I thought, he's not diligent. And I thought, well, you know, everyone struggles with different spiritual issues and, you know, whatever. So I did take the time to look up his name. And didn't think about it. I started thinking, I wonder if I should talk to him. I wonder if I should maybe send him an email, and not to dump on him and give him a hard time, but try to encourage him. And I probably should have, but I didn't. OK, I just didn't. And I kind of almost forgot about him. One day I had an email from a pastor friend who's out west. And he said, Greg, how are you doing? We, no, fine. How are you doing? Fine. Hey, the church is growing. We're looking for an assistant pastor. Can you help me? Reply, how can I help you? Note, Greg, there's a guy who's graduating and he's in your class. He's in your fundamentals, I think, class. Do you know anything about him? So I hit reply and I'm saying, you know, there's 180 people in the class. I really don't know people. I would like to think he would understand biblical counseling, but I really can't comment on, we'll call him John Doe, on John. Hey, I know that name. I wonder who that is. So I take out my seating chart and I go, that's him. That's the guy. So I opened up the email and I deleted it and started again. I do have this young man in my class. In fairness, I don't know him well. But I know him well enough that I would not hire him, and I would not recommend you hire him as an assistant pastor either. Because every day he comes into my class and for 15 minutes he does absolutely nothing. I would think that if you hire him as an assistant pastor, you could be fairly confident he would probably do the same. I can't speak good or ill of his character beyond that, but you asked for my opinion. That's my answer. God bless. And that's what I did. You say, you threw that guy under the bus. I did not. He laid down under the bus. Okay? Guys, he was not. Look at what the proverb says. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. He experienced shame because he made a choice not to be diligent. You say, why is diligence such an important thing? Well, for at least two reasons, okay? First point was diligence is a mark of wisdom. Next point, diligence leads to prosperity. Turn to 21:5 in Proverbs. We're going to stay in Proverbs. And if you'll turn, please, to Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The Bible says that diligence leads to prosperity. Now, how many people in here you'd say, I would like to prosper in life? That's all of us. Well, the Bible says one way to prosper in life, and that's a very broad concept, is diligence. Notice what's going on in 21:5. It says the thoughts of the diligent, there's our word, tend only to plenteousness. Another translation, lead surely to advantage. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The Bible says there are people that are very diligent. They work hard. And that leads to plenteousness. That leads to, one translation has abundance. I already mentioned one has advantage. But a person who is not diligent, especially in planning, the thoughts of the diligent, that leads to want. So there are some people that are very, very diligent and they plan. For example, here you are in summer school. And I know that a number of you, I looked up the classes, a number of you are taking Bible doctrines. In fact, there's two classes being offered in Bible. How many of you signed up for Bible doctrines? Should be a bunch. Okay, there's actually two classes going on. Some of you are going to be diligent. I understand that they give you a list of verses about this thick to memorize, right? Now, some of you will be diligent, and as soon as you get the stack of verses today, you'll think, okay, I probably will have a quiz tomorrow. Would you have a verse quiz tomorrow? Okay. Some of you will say, I'm going to memorize one right away. In fact, I'm going to work on all of them right away, and then I'll take a break. And maybe do something fun and maybe, you know, Facebook for a little bit of a time or, you know, for the guys, play your video games. OK. But then I'm going to shut it down and I'm going to go right back to those verses. But some will not. And some will say, you know, I'd rather just goof around. And maybe tonight around 10 or 11, I'll look at my syllabus and I'll go, wow, those are a lot of verses to know. And then you'll do the best you can, but you won't do well. And you won't do well in this class. Notice what 21:5 says. It says the thoughts or the plans of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. You see, the hasty person doesn't plan on how well he can do in school. But this isn't just true of academics, guys. This is true of money in so many different ways. Let me give you a non-academic money illustration. I got an envelope in the mail. This was a while ago. And it was a little thing from Toyota, if I'm remembering correctly. And it said, come in, we have the brand new pickup truck. Take it for a test drive, and we will give you $50. Okay? Now, how many of you think that's a pretty good deal? Walk into a dealer, take a truck for a test drive, which is kind of fun, and then they pay you $50. How many think pretty good deal? Okay. So here's what I do. I have my truck, and I need an oil change anyway. So I go in there and I drop off my truck for an oil change and I walk into where the salespeople are and I say, I have this letter and it says, if I take a new truck for a test drive, when I'm done, I get $50. Is that true? And the guy said, yes, sir. I said, I want to be honest with you. I said, I try to be honest with people. I'm not buying the truck. I am not buying a truck. It's not in my plans. I have a truck. It's fine. I'm going to keep my truck running as long as I can. And then what I'm doing even now is I save up a little bit of money each month. And so what will happen, hopefully, when my truck dies, which hopefully won't be for a long time, I'll have enough money to buy another late model but used truck. And I said this to the guy. So I'm not buying a truck, and I just want to be honest with you. And he said, that's okay. Let's go for a ride. And I said, but I'm not buying the truck, but we're going to go for a ride, and you're still going to give me $50. And he said, yes, sir. I thought, that's fine. So we go in the truck, I drive it, I witness to him because I thought that would even be more of a blessing. You know, I'm getting paid to witness. And so I shared the gospel with him, okay? And he, of course, it's great to witness to salespeople because they can't say shut up. You know what I mean? Because, see, they want to sell you something and they know if they don't smile and look interested that you might not, okay. So I witnessed to him, he looked interested. What was going on in his heart, I don't know. When it's done, he gives me the paperwork to fill out. I'll get a $50 gift card in the mail, which I did. I said to the gentleman, I said, can I ask you a question? How in the world can you afford the company to give $50 to guys who take cars for test drives? He says, because we make money when we sell them. I said, so you're telling me that people come in, they have no plan of buying a truck. They just want the $50, people like me. But they come in, go for a test drive, and before they leave, they sign on the dotted line, buy a truck and finance it. And he looked at me and smiled and says, it happens all the time. You know what those people are called? Those people are called foolish. You could call them unwise. Those are people that are hasty. Those are people that are in debt. Those are people who don't understand Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. What does Proverbs teach? That diligence is one attribute that all Christians should seek to cultivate in their lives. And again, I want to be careful. Not to get God to love you more. He already loves you. Not to get Him to forgive you more. If you know Christ, you're already forgiven. Not to earn favor with Him. But as I mentioned before, I think of it just kind of like writing a thank you note. It's a way of saying, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. How can I show it? Oh, I can be wise. And the Bible says part of wisdom is being diligent. You're beginning summer school. And I pray this morning, by God's grace, that this would be an encouragement for you. And that your heart would be, Lord, I am so thankful that you love me. I am so thankful to be saved. And maybe I'm not super excited about summer school, but if you'll help me, Lord, I'll be diligent. If you help me, I'll try not to spend too much time in the social media stuff or texting or games. Not that that's bad. I'll try not to spend too much time. Maybe some of you have other things, you know, just riding my bike all the time or following my hobby or watching TV. By your grace, if you help me, Lord, I'll be diligent. If that's your heart this morning, I would like to pray with you. Okay. Now you might be here and you're not in, and I understand. Okay. And then I will pray for you. But if in your heart you say, Lord, if you'll help me, I will be diligent. Would you want to just bow your head right now and close your eyes and we'll pray together. Father, we've seen in Proverbs that truly fearing you is the beginning of wisdom. And Lord, Proverbs tells us that part of wisdom is being diligent, not being lazy, not being hasty, but planning to work hard for your glory. Lord, some of the students in this room, perhaps I hope all, right now are asking, would you please help me, Lord? Would you please help all of us to be diligent? Lord, would you please help us from within to have self-control, to pay attention in class, to study hard. Lord, to do our very best, not to be distracted by things that are less important. Lord, please help us to be diligent. Father, I pray for every student who just prayed that prayer. Please give them great grace and help them to have a great month of summer school. Lord, if there were any students here this morning that didn't pray that, Lord, we know that you love them too, and you know their needs. And Lord, we know by your grace you can meet those needs. And so for all that are here this morning, Father, we pray that you would work in our lives. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.